I am absolutely blessed this morning. Like, how about all that rain that we had this week? I mean, you never thought that Del Rio could rain so much. And you should see my yard. I didn't have to turn the sprinklers on once, and it is so green. I mean, I have to cut it eventually, but I mean, what an absolute blessing. So for those of you who don't know me, like Joe said, I do teach the youth every Sunday. And our youth get to put up with my jokes. So since I don't like to change my style, you guys will have to put up with my jokes today. So if you pull out your sermon outline in here, Joe gave it to me in nice and red. It's called Jesus and the IRS. An IRS is not Internal Revenue Service. It is I'm rich and short, because we're going to talk about Zacchaeus this morning. So for those of you who don't know, the last time I preached, I preached about Jonah. And what I really, really like to do is take those simple stories, those stories that we know already. So like Jonah, it's great. It has one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It talks about vomiting Jonah up onto dry land. But it's all those stories that we learned in Sunday school and applying them to our adult lives and, you know, to the young people's lives. And so Zacchaeus, we all know the story of Zacchaeus, right? We all went to Sunday school, and for those of you who didn't go, what you missed was a song. And that song goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, what'd he say? You come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today, right? So that is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, in a little rhyme, in a little song. And it's super easy, and you teach it to your kids, and you're like, look, this little guy climbed up in the tree, and then Jesus went to his house. Oh, it's great, yay. And that's what we remember about Zacchaeus. But these 10 verses are cram-packed with so much stuff. It applies to every single one of us, no matter what stage of our lives that we're in, no matter what stage of our relationship with Christ, whether we are not quite sure if all this stuff about the gospel is true, if we're not quite sure if Jesus is who he said he was, well, this story applies to you. Or maybe you've acknowledged Jesus. Maybe you say that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, but you're not walking the straight and narrow as we're asked to do. This story applies to you. Or maybe you're completely committed, and you're an elder at the church, and you teach the youth, and you're preaching this morning. This story applies to you, and that's why it's great. But something else you need to know about Scott Foshee. So if you don't know me, I'm sorry. Good morning. I am an actor. I participate with the Del Rio Upstagers, and I am a visual learner. So if you're going to stand up here and talk to me, it's not going to work. I need to see what's happening. So, also audience participation, congratulations, you're part of the sermon this morning. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on a little impromptu sketch to illustrate all of the points of this sermon. So, what I need is 4 volunteers. Anybody? 4 volunteers? Okay, Will, you're good. You two, go ahead and come up. 2 more adults. Two more adults, nobody's going to volunteer. Well, thank you very much. There's one more, thank you very much. Come up here. We'll stand off to the side, my 4 adults. Now, these are the townspeople of Jericho. These are our Jerichoans, all right? And so what the Jerichoans have is a lot of money. So we're going to imagine this is a lot of money, all right? I know you guys are lieutenants, so these pennies and quarters seem like a lot of money to you anyway, so. It's funny because it's true, he said. So, what we are going to do is these are our Jerichoans, and they have money. And this is my son, Will. If you can't tell, we look exactly alike. It's a carbon copy of me. He is going to be our Zacchaeus, all right? And he is, what are you, Zacchaeus? What is your job?
Take money from people.
Take money from people, that's right. He's a tax collector. So he is going to go through the town, and he is going to take their money. And then your lines, as he comes by, is he's going to say, these are your lines, give me, give me, give me. And he's going to take all the money. And your lines, Jerichoans, when he takes your money, is to go, aw, and then you have to look all like sullen, like sad. Okay, you guys got it? Okay, action. Nice and loud so they can hear you. Oh, good, good, good. Look how sad they are. Oh, and how much money did Zacchaeus take? Well, he took all of it. So, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He took so much money. He cheated the people out of their money because not only did he take what was required, but he also took more, right? So all the people of Jericho did not like this little short and rich guy because he took so much money from them. But one day, Jesus was coming to town. And I'll play the part of Jesus just so we don't have to find another volunteer. But he climbed up into a tree. Wait a minute. Hold on. I forgot. Hey, Johnny, can I borrow you for a second? Can you just 1 second? Johnny Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen, this is our tree. Can you pick up Zacchaeus? Yep. All right, great. So, as Jesus came into town, he came and he talked to all the Jerichoans. They were all very nice to see him. They were very nice to see. And then Jesus gets here and he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. So come on down out of the tree. Thank you, Johnny. Clap for Johnny. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great tree. Questionable wardrobe, but good tree. So Jesus said, I'm going to your house. And they went to their house. But now the people of Jericho, what do you guys do? You grumble. Say grumble, grumble, grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Oh, they're so upset. But after Jesus takes Zacchaeus and goes to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus comes back. Go back and give them their money. And now your lines are, yay, because they're giving back all their money. Hey, good, yes. Yeah, all right, thank you. Thank you, volunteers. I need this for second service. thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, volunteers. Will, you can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you very much. So, I am a visual learner. If you forget nothing else, forget that I embarrassed those lovely volunteers. So, open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, and we're going to go all the way to chapter 19. And man, oh man, do I love making people uncomfortable because it gets their blood flowing. They're like, oh no, what's coming next? Who is he going to call on? It could be you. You never know. So, in the book of Luke, in chapter 19, and what I ask the youth always, when we find a book of the Bible, I ask, which testament is it in? Well, this is in the New Testament, all right? And Luke, who is Luke written by? Well, this one is an easy one, because he named the book after himself. So who is it written by? Luke. But more importantly, not where is it or who wrote it, but who is it written for? Right? So there are four Gospels, right? And there's Matthew, Mark, Luke. This is the third of the four. And who is this one written for? Well, great news, guys. This one is written for you. This one was written for the Gentiles. This story, this version of the Gospel was written for the Gentiles to articulate to us as Gentiles who Jesus was and what his ministry was and why it was so important and how it applies to us. So, Gentiles, let's read in chapter 19. I'm reading out of the NIV. Starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho, just as we saw, and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming down that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, has he gone to be a guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And let's stop there for now. So that is the story that we acted out. That is the story that we all know from the song in the nursery rhyme. All right, so we have Jesus. Our bullet point number one is Jesus. I'm sorry, it's tax collectors and other people. Right, so who is this? How is the stage set? The stage is set that Jericho, which you guys all know the story from the Old Testament, right? Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, another song. Jericho, right? The walls came tumbling down. Well, apparently they built the town back up because when Jesus was around, they were all there. Jesus goes to visit the town, and in this town, I'm rich and short. The IRS already exists in the town. And I'm sure as he walked by, no one was happy to see Zacchaeus because they knew Zacchaeus wanted something. They knew that Zacchaeus was there to take money from them. So Jesus was alive during a time of Roman occupation, right? So Zacchaeus did not just work for the Jews. He also worked for the Romans. And that is awful. It's an awful place to be. Because not only was Zacchaeus a Jew, but he was under Roman occupation. So not only was he taking money from his fellow Jews under a Roman-occupied town, but he was also giving money to the Romans. But not only was he doing that, but he was taking money for himself. He was taking the money of his fellow Jews, giving it to the Romans, and then taking the money for himself. He was not a popular person because he was a scoundrel. He was taking money. He was stealing the money from the people. But this is what's so great about this story. Jesus found Zacchaeus. Jesus found him not in the crowd where everyone was, but Jesus found him in a tree because Zacchaeus was curious, just like we are, right? We all have our sins. We all have things that we struggle with, right? Oh, mine is anger. That is the one that I wrestle with so much. And I often take it out on the people that I love the most. I hide it from the people that I work with. I hide it from the people that I worship with. And then the people that I love the most, I take it out on them. I don't want to, but that's where I have it. That's I'm holding on to it. But I'm curious, and I put myself out there for Jesus to see me where I am. And where was Zacchaeus? Well, he was in a sycamore fig tree. But where are you? Well, you're at Del Rio Bible Church. You're in Del Rio, Texas. And Zacchaeus put him into a place to be seen by Jesus. And you know what happened? He was seen. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. And are you making yourself available, no matter what your sin is, no matter how much you're taking from other people in one form or another, just like Zacchaeus, no matter what's going on in your life, are you making yourself available to Christ? Because Christ wants to do a work in you, just like he did a work in Zacchaeus. What a great and amazing Savior. Now, another thing that you need to know about me. I love movies, all right? So it kind of ties together that I'm an actor and that I love movies. There's one movie that came out in 1998, 1999 time frame. So spoiler alert for this entire film, but if you haven't seen it by now, it's kind of your fault and you're welcome. So this movie is called Saving Private Ryan. All right, it's a war film. All right, in the opening scene of this film, there's an older man, he's going to Utah Beach and he's at the Veterans Memorial at Utah Beach and he's walking ahead of his family and Steven Spielberg is an amazing filmmaker. He shows his family walking quietly behind him. And this guy is emotional because he's walking by all these white stones. And he's seeing the sacrifice of these men. And he gets to one and he kneels down in front of it. And he just breaks down and his family like come around him. And then it fades to Tom Hanks on the beach during D-Day, during the Normandy invasion. And so everyone thinks at the beginning of the film that this guy, this older man at the beginning, is Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks, he storms the beach, he and this man, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of blood, a lot of gore. It's don't let your kids watch it. It's really heavy. But he gets there and he gets to the beach and he gets this new mission after they've taken the beach. And come to find out that there's this guy, Private Ryan, who has lost all of his brothers. And so Tom Hanks and 10 of his guys have to go find Private Ryan, who is Matt Damon, somewhere in France or Normandy, or somewhere, just this is where he was supposed to be, go get him, because he's going home. Because we don't want to put too much more of a burden on his mother. So as the movie goes on, the men in Tom Hanks's company, Tom Hanks is a captain, he's an infantry captain. Throughout the movie, the guys talk about what makes our lives less valuable than this one other guy. Why are we having to go through this to find this one guy? Well, as they go through, most of them end up dying, to include Tom Hanks. And in the last moment, the last scene with Tom Hanks, he's sitting there, and Private Ryan, Matt Damon, comes up to him, and Tom Hanks says these words, "Earn this." Meaning, earn this sacrifice of me and all of these other men. It's so powerful. Earn this, and then fade from young Matt Damon into this old man, crippled down at this gravesite, weeping, and has his family saying, "Am I a good man? Did I live a good life?" And his family, of course, encouraging him, "Yes, yes, you're great." Now, why am I sharing this story with you? Because Tom Hanks was a man in this movie. And he was telling this other man, "Earn this, earn my sacrifice, earn the sacrifice of all these other men." And that has so much power on me because I'm a military man. I've served with other people. Am I living a good life to represent these other men who have sacrificed their lives for me? That has a lot of weight. But you know what is amazing about our God? Our God came down as a man. Our God came down as a man and sacrificed his life on a cross, gave himself for us, and never once did he say, "Earn it." He gave it to us for free. He wrestled for 3 days, was raised from the dead, raised of his own power from the dead, forgiving us of our sins, making that pathway, making that bridge. Jesus doesn't say, "Earn it." Jesus says, "Take it. It's yours. Make yourself available to me, and I will give you this gift. It's free. Take it. You've already earned it because you are my child." And you know what Zacchaeus did? Zacchaeus took it. He did a great work. But where do we find ourselves in this story? Where is the normal, everyday Christian? Where are the people of Del Rio Bible Church in this story? Well, where I see us is right here, chapter 19, verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." Jesus came all the way to Jericho. He came all the way to Del Rio to see all of these people, and he chooses this guy to go to dinner with? What about me? I teach the youth at my church. Every Sunday, I plan a lesson. We play a game. I bring the gospel. Why isn't he having dinner with me? Why isn't he having dinner with you? Hey, God, look at me. Look at me. But you know what? He didn't come for me. He already sent me to do his work, and I'm here, and I'm doing it. He didn't come to Jericho. He didn't come to Del Rio to find the people who are followers of Christ. He didn't come for us. He came for these people. Let me see. What's in here? Oh, yeah. Remember I said anger. I should probably put that one in here first. But these are other things that I struggle with. So there's some of these words, right? You may not know. That's slander. I had decent handwriting, but I kind of ran out of room. I kind of crushed in there. That's slander. That's where I talk about my friends behind their back, you know. You guys ever heard of that? I've got a couple lawyers in here. You guys know all about that stuff. Pride. Oh, man. Whew. Boy, oh, boy. That's a hard one. I am a very good air traffic controller. And if people come after me about my ability to control, man, oh, man, I get this weird feeling. It's right here. I get all warm. Whew. Man, oh, man. Ooh, we already talked about that one. Anger, that's a good one. Ooh, there's some hard ones in here. Ooh, adultery. Let's talk about that one here in a minute. That one goes along with another one. Hold on one second. There it is. Murder. Woo! What? That guy's a murderer? That's awful. Oh, lust. Yeah, that kind of goes along with adultery. Man, oh man, that sucks. Let's see, what else is that? Oh, drunkenness. Yep, that's one. That's from the good old days. Started high school. I'm a preacher's son, so you guys know how that goes. Let's see. Ooh, malice. You guys know what malice is? Give it a Google after the sermon. Malice. Yeah, that sucks. Let's see. I got two more in here that I struggle with. Oh, selfishness. Talk to my wife about that. And, ooh, here's the one. Here it is. Judgment. Judgment. Anybody guilty of that just recently? Like, as I was putting all these things in here? Do you see yourselves? Judgment. But you know what's great, people? You know what's great about all these things? Because there's way more. I just ran out of room. I almost bought out Home Depot with these little tiny dowel rods about this size. But there's way more than this. There's a huge list of things that are in my life, have been in my life, that are in your life. This judgment thing, I guarantee, as I was putting some of these in there, lust, adultery, drunkenness, I bet some of your minds were going, like, ooh, how's that guy preaching if he's struggling with those things? How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. What's amazing, people of Jericho, people of Del Rio Bible Church, is that it's this one right here. Oh man, this is a good one. It's bigger than the other ones. It actually, if you put it in here just right, yeah, can't even really see the other ones. Do you know why? Because I've been forgiven. But not by my wife, not by Pastor Joe, not by my good friend Johnny the Tree, but by Jesus. He gave his life freely for me, for all of these things, all covered by this one thing. And all I had to do was accept it. It's free. All I have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept it. Maybe I don't believe that this is the truth. Maybe I don't believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. I'm telling you right now, he is. He is who he says he is. This is the truth. No matter what the world is telling you, no matter what lies are planted inside your brain, no matter how many times your dad yelled at you, men, and told you that you were not going to be the best baseball player because you're not throwing it right. Ladies, no matter how many times your mom said to you, is that what you're going to wear? You're going to do your hair like that? And you're like, I don't know what you mean. So you run back and you change it 10 or 15 times. Still happens at my house, and Kristen's mom doesn't live with her. No matter how many lies you have allowed to plant inside your brain, if Zacchaeus is good enough to go have dinner with Jesus, so are you. No matter what your tent stakes would say, if I gave everyone a homework assignment, go get your own bucket, get your own sand, make your own tent stakes, what are you guilty of? Make a little forgiveness sign. No matter what yours would say, you're good enough for Jesus. You're good enough to do his work. You're good enough, people of Del Rio. And I don't think that we believe that. We justify what's going on in our lives. We justify the lies that have been planted in our heads to not do his work where we are. We justify ourselves because we believe the lie. But the truth is that. The truth is forgiveness. I have been forgiven. I am a scoundrel. But I'm a forgiven scoundrel. And so are you. And here's why. Here is the change, Del Rio Bible Church. Here is the change. Zacchaeus stood up and said, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And you could put in your brain, you can listen to the lie, and you could think, oh, he's only doing that because the people were murmuring, and he's worried about what the people are saying, and now Jesus is at his house, and so he's only doing this to look good in front of Jesus. You can believe that lie. But the reason I know it's a lie is because if you keep reading, it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the, verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Today, in Zacchaeus' house, his entire house was saved. Now, we could get into some hermeneutics, we can get into splitting some hairs, we can get into what the Greek and the Hebrew and what the translation is and what the word today means. But let me tell you this. Today in my house, my children are following Christ because of the example that my wife and I are living. Now, are they Christians? Are they not Christians? Well, that's not up to me. That's up to them. And that's up to the Holy Spirit to do a work in them. But I am choosing to live my life in accordance with what God is calling me to do. And so today in my house, just like in Zacchaeus' house, because of the example, because of the change in me, because of the obvious forgiveness that I'm living out, my children are following. My son just graduated into the youth group last week. My daughter's been in my class for about a year, maybe two. And what I told Will this morning was, hey, bud, we're not going to do youth group because this is the lesson that I planned for the youth group. So you've got to sit in two services and hear me say the same thing. But take notes, because I need you to tell me what the difference was from first service and second service, because I don't take a lot of notes. I just write down little bullet points, and then I let the Holy Spirit do the work. He's here taking notes. Well, actually, he's here holding his knees, not taking notes right now, but he's here listening because I'm the Zacchaeus in my life. I'm the Zacchaeus in this story. I didn't follow my dad right away. My mom, when I was 17, said, I had a dream last night that you were a preacher, and I know that that's what God wants you to do. And so I said, whatever, Mom, I'm going out to get drunk with my friends. And so I did. Because I don't care what my mom said, I'm going to do what I wanted to do. I don't care what you believe, Mom or Dad, I'm going to go do what I want. But you know who never left me? It was Jesus. He wept over me. He wept over my decisions. He was like, man, I want you to get up there and share my message. And what a powerful message it would be if you would just listen. I was like, whatever. My mom said that I was going to be a preacher. There's no way that's happening. I'm going to go out and be a famous actor. I'm never going to live in Del Rio. I'm never going to serve in the military. I'm never going to do any of those things. And look at me now. Mom was right. Moms are always right. That's right, Joe. The truth is, though, it wasn't my mom that I was running away from. The truth is that I wasn't climbing up into that tree to make myself visible to Jesus. The truth is that I was hiding behind the crowd. The truth is that I was allowing my Jericho to stand in front of me and convince me I'm too short, Jesus doesn't care about me. I was believing the lies. I was believing that Satan was more fun than Jesus. What a sentence. I believed that Satan was more fun than Jesus. And you know what? You might be thinking the same thing too. You just don't know that that's what you're doing. You might be running from the words that your mom spoke. You might be running from the lies that your parents told you. You might be running from a bad relationship with a spouse. But what you need to be doing is climbing up into a sycamore fig tree. Because Jesus did not come for the saved. You can't save the saved. He came for you. He came to seek and to save what was lost. Are you lost this morning? Do you have something that you're wrestling with that you don't remember, you cannot recall? The forgiveness, because you're listening to the lie. Listen to the truth. I got to circle back to something before I close. And it was the adultery and the murder and all these other things that are up here. So for those of you who are sitting there very proud and very safe and like, I have never murdered anybody in my life. Well, let me just point you to some scripture real quick. And hopefully it will remind you that you did. So let's look in Matthew. It's a couple of books towards the Old Testament. Go left in your Bibles. Matthew and chapter 5. And let's look in verse 21. So this is Jesus right after he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Gave all the Beatitudes. It's really cool. Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew? Matthew. Who did he write this for? The Jews. How do you know the difference between if it's written for the Jews or it's written for the Gentiles? Well, in Matthew, he puts the genealogy right at the beginning. The genealogy all the way from Adam through David down to Jesus. The reason that that's important is because Jesus is the line of David. And to prove the prophecies in Isaiah, Matthew said, hey, look, here it is, the genealogy. Boom! Jesus is who he said he was. Now let me tell you about what he did. The Gentiles, I don't know anything about genealogy. I didn't know anything about it until Ancestry.com. My mom told me she spent $100 on her and $100 on my dad to discover that we're Eastern European, 97% English. No kidding. So, Matthew, he writes here that these are Jesus' words. Chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Verse 22. And I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. Jesus' words here, he's drawing a parallel between the act of taking another man's life, drawing a direct parallel to being angry with your brother. He is saying, Mr. Road Rage, when you go to San Antonio, or when you're driving down Veterans and the guy's going 10 miles underneath the speed limit and you don't know why, you might be subject to judgment. I told the youth group that exact same story about Veterans Boulevard, and I offered them a challenge that when that's happening and their parents start to get upset, to tell them to pray for their brother in that other car. Because who knows what's going on. Hopefully they're not on their cell phone, but there could be something else going on. Don't murder your brother just because they're driving 10 miles under the speed limit. Let's look at adultery. It's in verse 27. It says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Porn is adultery. Looking at your sister lustfully. Looking at your brother, ladies, lustfully is adultery in your heart. Where is your heart? What are you doing? Who are you loving? Am I guilty of those things? Absolutely. So are you. The difference is, well, maybe it's not a difference. But I'm talking to somebody. The difference between me and you is that I don't believe the lies. The difference between me and you is that I let Jesus wrestle with me over my humanity. Because Jesus wants greatness for me and for my family. And I don't even know what that greatness is. I just need to trust him to do it. Oh man, when I was 17 and 18, I thought for sure I was going to put Brad Pitt out of business. I thought for sure that I was going to be in Saving Private Ryan. Man, that is what I wanted for myself so much. I could have never guessed that in 2018, I was still going to have a full head of hair. No, I mean, that is true. But I could have never guessed that in 2018, I would be standing here sharing this message with you. But the reason that I'm doing it is because God wanted me here this morning. I was originally scheduled to preach this message in August. I've had this message ready to go for a long time. I just keep telling Joe, let me do it. Let me preach. I got it ready to go. Let me preach. But God waited for this morning. He waited for you to be here this morning because He knew that you were wrestling. He knew that you were a Jerichoan. You didn't even know that. He knew that there was some judgment in your life. And you're looking at somebody else and going, "Huh, look at that person. Why is that guy getting that thing? And why am I not getting this thing?" Maybe the reason is because you're not making yourself available. Maybe the reason is because those people that are struggling are saying, "God, save me." You guys ever heard of that story about Peter? He's walking out on the water. Do you remember that? There's only two people in the world that have ever walked on water. One of them was God. The other one was Peter, the mouth. Or what I like to call Scott. He's in the boat and he sees this ghost. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you." Jesus says, "Come." Peter gets out of the boat. He starts to walk. But then he sees the wind and the waves, and he gets afraid. And he starts to sink. And thank God that's not the end of the story. Peter lived to cut off some dude's ear and mess up again so that we could have several examples of what not to do and still be great. Man, I love Peter. But what Peter did when he started to sink into that water, do you know what he said? "Lord, save me." Del Rio Bible Church, when you're starting to sink, and when you start to lose focus off of Christ in your walk, what are you saying? What are you turning to? How are you living your life? I want you to be like Peter and say, "Lord, save me." Because you know what the next word in that scripture is? When Peter started to sink and said, "Lord, save me," the next word is immediate. Immediately, God. Immediately, Jesus reached out for him. Immediately. God is reaching out for you. God is there. But it takes two steps. Step one, acknowledging that He is your Savior. Acknowledging that all of this stuff is covered. But you have to acknowledge it. And if you want to do His work, if you want to be where He can use you, if you want to be the Zacchaeus of the end of the story and not the beginning of the story, not the Zacchaeus that everyone hates, you need to first be the Zacchaeus that climbs up into the tree and sees Jesus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree. "You come down, for I'm going to your house today." And then He did. And the second step one, believe. Step two is reach out. Step two is when you start to turn away from that belief, when you start to listen to the lies. There is nothing that is going to save you except Christ. Fellow believers, Jesus wants you to do His work. He wants you to do His work at church. Steve, that's what you do, right? You work here, you're the administrator. It seems a little easy. You're at church all day, of course you're doing God's work. right? But what about you guys? What about when you're flying that plane? What about when you're messing up in training? What about when you're in the control tower? What about when you're delivering FedEx or you're working at the courthouse or you're doing whatever it is that you do? Right? What about when you're at the post office and the line is taking too long? Maybe God has put you there to talk to that neighbor. Say, hey, what's your day like? This line sucks. Let's have a conversation. Make the time go by faster. And then you get the opportunity to hear what's going on in somebody else's life and then pray for them. Oh, Scott, I can't do that. I'm an introvert. There's no way that God would use me like that. Yes, he will. I'm also an introvert, just so you know. After I preach these two messages, I'm going to take a very long nap and recharge my batteries. Oh, I guess I'm going to the welcome lunch, and then I'm going to have a very long nap. But God is calling you to his purpose. The last bullet point on here, and we've already covered it, is the change. The change is in you. The change, non-believers, the change is believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. That's your change. That's your step. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Believe that. That's your change. Fellow believers who aren't living out the life that God has planned for you because you're struggling with the lies, your change is saying, you know what, God, I believe in you. I believe that you are going to do a good work in me. That is your change. And for those of you who are already doing his work, for those of you who are already in a place where you're on a day in and day out basis doing the work of God, for those of you who are teaching the youth group and an elder at the church and preaching, it's very narrow, specific, but you get what I'm saying. For those of you who are ushers, those of you who are music ministers, those of you who are teaching Sunday school in the back, your change is to get out of his way. Your change is to let him do the work in you and not you trying to do his work. Let him work through you and not the other way around. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. There's nothing like it. There's no earning it. There's no red tape, no attachments. It's a matter of acknowledging you and believing in you. Father, I ask that you allow us to go from here back into the streets of Del Rio, back into our lives, if we're from out of town, back to wherever it is that you have sent us here to hear this message. I ask that you allow us to believe the truth and not the lie. And I ask that you do a good work in us, Father. In all these things I pray. Amen.